Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard, and the Inside Analog Photography radio program is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. You know, they got great color neg, chrome, black and white, instant pack film, and the brand new Instax is here in the country. They have a lot of great stuff going on. Check them out, www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends over at Richard Photo Lab for the place to send all of your film. Excellent processing, beautiful prints, just beautiful, beautiful work by these guys in Hollywood, California. Lots of professional people send their stuff to Richard. You can too. Check them out, richardphotolab.com. And our friend Al over at Upstrap for the camera strap that will not let the camera slide off your shoulder. Check them out. I have one on every body. This thing rocks. Upstrap-pro.com. And of course, our media partners are the Analog Photography User Group. You can check them out at www.apug.org. This is the place on the web to find out about everything about the traditional photographic process, from wet plate, dry plate, tintype, emulsion making, black and white, color, you name it. Everything about photography is going on over at APA. Great, great resource for everybody. We got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to have with us Leah McCormick. Leah is a professional lifestyle photographer out of the San Francisco Bay Area, and she shoots all film. Really cool stuff going on, Leah. She's a great photographer and just a really cool person. We're going to find out about how she got involved with photography, what kind of gear she's using, what kind of film she's shooting, and everything that's going on with Leah. Leah, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. I want to talk to Leah today about yourself. You're a professional photographer based out of San Francisco, California. You shoot fine art, you do wedding, you do portrait, you do a lot of great work. You're a film shooter also.
Yes.
You went to Brooks, you're sponsored by Fuji. You got a lot of great stuff going on, Leah. Let's start off here with, let's learn about Leah. When did you get involved or interested in photography? What got you the bug here to even want to go to Brooks? Let's talk about when you started to play with, you know, photographing people and things and just sort of getting into it.
Yeah, I guess it is really just one of those cheesy stories that people tell and you roll your eyes. My mom is an amazing artist. So was her mother. So immediately I just feel like part of who I am, the artistic side. You know, my mom, before she can draw a painting, she mostly works in pastels. But before she ever did a drawing, she had to have a photo first. She's an amazing photographer. We grew up always having her take photos of us and never a portrait. I don't think I have a single portrait of us or our family, but it was always us. Like, I have this amazing picture of me just running toward the camera with a pinwheel in my hand, just laughing like crazy. I must have been like 3 years old. So I grew up looking at those photos my mom took, and on all our vacations, the landscapes she took. She would always tell us, if the house is on fire, grab the photo album. Like, that was the only thing. Like, get out of the house and grab at least 3 photo albums on the way. Like, these things were demanded of us, and we knew that was an important part of her life, and therefore it became important to us. She always gave me cameras, and cameras I had no business having. Like, I was way too young. Seems like I was, but, you know, she would just give me a 70 to 300 lens and send me off to summer camp. So, I mean, it's kind of funny I think about that now. The camera was probably as big as I was. Like, how cool that she really encouraged that of me. And, you know, we'd bring the pictures home and she would tell me which ones were good. So, it's just ingrained in who I am, and that's awesome. Always, I just thought that I did it for fun. Nobody ever told me you could do it for a profession, for a living. So I was in Colorado going to college, but mostly snowboarding, things like that, when somebody told me about Brooks. And he was just talking about it because he was so excited. He was deciding whether or not to go there. And I remember where I was standing and where he was sitting. I remember that moment as clear as any memory I have.
Really?
Yes. It's so funny to me. I don't have many things in my life like that, and this was one of them. So I know that it's just one of those things. The light bulb went off, and I remember saying, What do you mean? There's a school for photography? Like, I just thought, why hasn't anybody told me about this? This is crazy. You can go to school for that and do that for a living. And I immediately left the library and looked up my schedule for the next semester, changed it, and then called my mom and told her I was moving to California. So, I mean, immediately, like within an hour. Okay, everybody, I'm going to California. Love you, miss you. And I packed up my truck and drove across from Colorado to California. I slept in my truck for a month, and because Brooks does not provide housing. That was the one thing, rock in the road. I think I just knew right away. My mom was really worried about women in photography, how far you can go. She just really thought it was a man's world, and I remember that's what she told me right away, that I better call them and ask them how many women graduate and which ones have jobs. She was taking the more practical standpoint, and I was just jumping in my car. So,
so you're originally from Colorado?
No, I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Go Steelers. I moved to Colorado right after high school, and then Santa Barbara, and then New York City, and now San Francisco. And that is me.
That really does show the dedication of what you wanted to do with the photography, to actually live in your truck for that long a period. To live in your car, you know?
It was outside the youth hostel. After a month in the youth hostel, I was a little disturbed by some of the things I saw in there. So, so my truck, I decided, was actually cleaner and safer. Luckily, it doesn't get too cold in Santa Barbara.
No, you were very lucky there.
Yeah, I mean, it still was like October. So, I mean, I had to wear a hat and a sweatshirt, that kind of stuff, but I was okay. I do remember one morning somebody bumped my car, like they were parking, and bumped into my truck. And I thought it would be so funny to open the back, just open the back window and yell at him, tell him he woke me up. I decided not to, that I would scare him to death. Just one of those funny thoughts. So I loved going to Brooks. And like I said, we were so lucky to go at a different time when the school was smaller. I never had a class more than 30 people. So lessons were very intimate and personal. And our teachers really cared about each of us being successful and prepared us for it. So I got a great education there. They don't just push your creativity, but they push your knowledge of the business. So that helps a lot, especially moving to New York.
Let's talk about your taking a double major at Brooks, advertising and digital. Very interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I think that was just the more practical side of me taking over. I wanted to work in photography when I graduated. And I think even at the time you could tell that digital was moving forward, and you would be unlucky to not have what knowledge you could get from Brooks just in digital media. It wasn't necessarily the cameras, the digital major, but learning the computer program. I feel like I had a little foresight there on what was happening in the world, and I'm so glad I took those classes. It has helped me endlessly, especially all the Photoshop work that we did. I became very fluent in Photoshop, and when I moved to New York, actually, I freelanced as a retoucher all around town during the week to pay my bills and start my business. So I was lucky to see that side of the business, the fashion world. Mostly it was all for fashion photographers. So I actually retouched stories that were in Vogue, Italian Vogue, Teen Vogue, all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So I'm very familiar with the head swapping, the thigh shrinking kind of stuff. And just all things skin. I think skin became my specialty. Just making everyone look smooth and beautiful but natural. It was great because I could still be freelance. I've never had a full-time job, which is awesome. So I've always made my photography is first. So I would just take those jobs when I needed them. When I was first starting out in New York, it helped a lot. It helped me buy a lot of equipment. Obviously, left time to shoot weddings on the weekend. And that was part of my major, being digital, is knowing how to do that stuff.
So your experiences at Brooks with film, I know that during the time you were at Brooks, one of your classmates was Jose Villa.
Yeah, we started together, I think. We probably processed our first rolls of film together.
Wow.
I remember cutting our first overmat together. It was pretty fun. Good times. I was there when Jose shot his first wedding. It's really fun to see what he's done now, like how successful he's become. I don't think he ever would have thought in a million years that he would be this lucky in his career. He was the hardest working person at our school by far. Definitely deserves it.
You were taking advertising and digital.
Yes.
When did you start your first wedding? What was the first wedding deal that just like brought you into the light of like, wow, this is for me?
I don't even know if there was a first wedding where was there a first one? I went to a couple weddings with Jose when he first started. I mean, he was starting while we were in school. Like, he was still a student, but he was always pushing forward, which is amazing. Be like, yeah, I'll shoot your wedding. So I went to a couple weddings with him before I moved to New York. And I don't think I thought when I got to New York that's what I would be doing. A good friend of mine now, Julia Samarsova, she saw my work and told all her friends about me. That's how it really started out. I do have her to thank for that completely, probably my entire career. Is that my first three weddings were friends of hers. They all loved me to death and made me feel welcome and loved their photos. So it all started out in a good way. And I would think in New York, that's pretty hard to do.
Well, exactly. And I think that's the point now is, okay, so you go through Brooks.
Yes.
You graduate with double majors. You know how to process and you use film.
I spent as much time in the darkroom as I did in the computer lab. It was equal amount. So, yeah.
So it was pretty much 18 hours a day schooling.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to eat. That was always the fun part. When the session was over, I remember I would just eat for like an hour straight. Our classes were hard. Sometimes you would just cry because you would be so exhausted. And I think in your life, like, you're really lucky if you find even one thing like that, that you love so much, that you're willing to do it to that point. I lost 20 pounds in 7 weeks during one of Paul Meyer's classes.
Wow.
Was excited. I'm like, man, I look good. But I'm tired. I can't believe I did that. You would go into class and they'd give you two assignments and then at the end they would add a third and it was all due in a week. I think it really, like I said before, really prepares you for the real world. They would tell you, you know, they're like, do you really think it gets easier out there when you're working in photography? Because it doesn't. You know, just basically like suck it up and keep shooting. Really good to get out into the business with that mindset, just that go-getter kind of mindset, you know, and feel confident in it is important, that you're very confident in what you do. I feel like my double major gave me the confidence to do anything.
And there was no point when you were at Brooks that you were just like, you know something, this is just too much, I'm almost going to give up here. No?
No, I never. I think it is probably the only thing in my life I have like that. Yeah, I knew that photography was definitely for me. No, I never felt that. I felt so lucky for the classmates I had, is that we were all so creative and hardworking, but it was that kind of friendly competition every week. That you knew the people in your class were really good, so you wanted to bring in something better. Like every week when the photos went up on the board, you wanted yours to be one of the best ones. So having people around you that push you to be better every week is also very helpful. Something you maybe lose a little bit when you go out on your own.
That's so true. And, you know, I think one of the big, big bummers is here is we have a lot, and it's not really a bummer, I guess. It depends on how you look at this, okay? There's a lot of newcomers to the wedding photography business. People.
Yeah.
The entry point, the acquisition point for equipment with digital imaging has become extremely economical. You can go down to a big box store
already
and buy a camera.
My heart thinking, yeah, I just can't even stand it. I get like hives on my neck.
There's nowhere to learn. There's no photography classes. It's like, okay, I'm going to pick up this camera with a kit lens.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get this nice little printer that includes a copy of Elements, whatever.
I know.
And I'm doing wedding photography.
I think they read some of the magazines. I think they read like Professional Photographer magazine or something. But yeah. And I just also have really serious thoughts on learning on digital. The fact that we learned on film, and not just film, slide film. I mean, it really kicks your rear end. So with slide film, you have to be accurate within a third of a stop every time.
Right.
And your teacher knows. So there's no way to change it.
You can't hide. You can't fix that raw file in Photoshop. It's guess what?
There is no option, and that's the way I think it should be. Even when you're shooting digital, don't shoot digital because you can make mistakes and fix it later. That's just really offensive to me.
I'm just pulling off topic here real quick, but Here's a question. Have you ever shot a wedding on Chrome?
No.
Okay.
No. I have thought, and I've also talked with my friend, Susan Dean. Also, check out her website, Susan Dean Photography. I seriously couldn't get through day-to-day wedding dramas without her. She's my rock. And I don't have many of those. I don't have many friends in the wedding industry, but without Susan, I might be dead. So I do have to mention her. We have talked about shooting some Chrome at a wedding. Like, not the whole wedding, but maybe it would be cool sometime. It would have to be a certain event, but to shoot a couple rolls and see what happens might be really fun.
Well, you know what it's like when you flip out some Chrome on the light table when you get it back from the lab.
Oh, yes, that feeling. And that is, that's what I wish I could tell every digital photographer, is that they just will never know. I mean, I feel like a lot of the digital photographers have never shot film. They really have no experiences with it at all. But the feeling of getting your film back and seeing it exactly the way you shot it. You know, that's just not something. Every image with digital is processed out. I mean, it's all even just slightly manipulated. Seeing it the way you shot it exactly is the coolest feeling. I went to the Frida Kahlo show this summer in San Francisco, and part of the show in the back where they're just showing pictures of her life, like not her paintings, but documentary photos from her life. There were these 4x5 slides of her with her friend mounted on a light box, and it was so cool. That was one of my favorite parts of the show, was seeing those. And it's sad to me that we won't have those feelings anymore if that stuff expires.
We don't think so. We hope not.
It's seriously not an option. Like I said, I will buy some cat and move to my mother's basement. If there's ever a point in my life when I can't shoot film, then I quit. I quit. I will not do this job anymore. I absolutely refuse to shoot 100% digital. That's me. But you know what? That's a lot of people. Steven Spielberg does the same thing. He is going to shoot film until they rip it from his cold, dead hands. And that's a fact. A lot of important people in the industry who feel the same way.
But it's not going to go anywhere because Fuji, Kodak, I think most of their business still comes from motion picture film, even more so than still.
Yeah.
Like you said, these guys that are shooting motion pictures want to shoot on film. You cannot duplicate the look on film. Rodney Charters, he's the DP for 24, series with Kiefer Sutherland and all that, all shot on film. And he could have $1 million Viper, you know, digital camera, and guess what? They shot it on film. Why?
Yeah.
Because it looks a certain way.
It does.
And they want that. Really interesting. Yeah. I don't think we're going to see this stuff die.
Oh, and it's very strange to me that people talk about, like, the only reason I have to talk about it and confront it is because it's being thrown at me all the time. I'll go to a wedding and I'm shooting, and I shot some pictures of some little kids recently, and they ran up to me and they're like, "Now show us the picture. Show us the picture." And I said, "I can't. I'm shooting film." And just the look on their little faces, they had no idea what I was talking about.
No.
I showed them the back of my camera, and they're just dumbfounded and then ran away.
It's horrible, though.
I just thought, wow, like, this is something I need to talk about, possibly, put it out there. regardless of my feelings of its staying power, there are people who are just not seeing it. They don't see that. I'm not sure how. You know, I was at an airport this summer traveling internationally, and I got stopped, like I sometimes do. So I'm a single girl traveling with lots of bags. I usually get searched. I have a lot of troubles there.
Really?
But they pulled out all my film, and I don't know why I had a really bad feeling this time. So I just told him, because I knew he was going to dump out my whole Ziploc bag of shot film. And I don't know why I was feeling so paranoid, like, what if all the rolls didn't get back in the bag? I was watching him, like, giving him the eagle eyes, and I have a pretty big mouth when it comes to that stuff. So I'm like, you better be careful with that. Well, you better put all those back in the bag. I mean it. I don't care who you are. Call the cops. So I just told him nicely, obviously, that that film was very important to me, so to be careful. And he was dumping out each bag and then handing it to me. And I was sitting in a chair, and there's a couple separating. Like, there's a guy left to me and a woman to the right, and the guy leans over to his wife and across me like I'm not even there. And he's like, honey, honey, look at all the film. Just like you're seeing, I don't even know.
Like someone dumped out a bag of dough. Wow, look at that.
Like, really? Really? Fascinating. Oh, I mean, so just little things like that are happening all the time, and it's constantly being thrown in my face. But I'm here to tell people that I love it, and I shoot it, and they should too. It makes me happy, but it makes my clients really happy. I think it's great and artistic and wonderful and romantic. And I, like I said, digital to me is just fun. Like, that's the only word I'll use to describe it. It's kind of fun sometimes. That's it.
Leah, let's talk about, you've graduated Brooks. You've got all this done. And what was the thought process of, okay, well, I'm in Santa Barbara. Things are mellow. It's cool. You know, I'm just going to New York City.
I know. It's probably like one of those same thought processes that got me to San Francisco, is that I'm just kind of crazy. I think I had a friend moving to New York, and he was talking about it. He was also a Brooks student. I remember saying, I could never live there. And then that's really not in my personality at all. Like, why did I say that? I could never do that. I can do anything. So I think it was just that I hadn't made up my mind. Even when I graduated, I had 2 months. I decided to figure out where I wanted to go, and New York seemed like the best place because it's something I never thought I could do. My picture of it was that you live in a little shoebox, and it's really expensive and hard to get work, and how do you live like that? But at the same time, I needed to find out. I graduated right after September 11th. So I think for me also was just part of the healing process. Moving there and being there was so helpful for those years, and just getting to enjoy New York. Wish everyone could go live there, even just for a year. It's awesome. So I'll always have the bigger part of my heart, but I think it did just get too noisy and crowded for me after a while. And having your own business, you have to make more practical decisions for your life. At some point, I sat down and really was thinking about if I could stay there for the rest of my life. Like, do I picture myself here 20 years from now? And if I don't, why am I here now building my business? I was definitely doing really well and booking a lot. So that was a hard decision for me. You know, right when I became known and had a lot of weddings, that's when I decided to leave. It was hard, but it was the best decision for me in the end. I'm a lot happier in San Francisco. I have a lot more peace of mind here, and I get to visit New York whenever I want.
Well, you can go back to New York, yeah, whenever you want.
And I love it. I go shopping, see my friends, and I shoot. All my clients there have kids now, so it's really fun to go back and shoot pregnancy photos and kids. And I shoot a couple weddings there a year for, obviously, just friends of my clients usually. Like, I still get to go back, but the living circumstances are kind of hard.
Really, I mean, it's a pit. It's horrible.
I had a great apartment, as good as you can have, and it was in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. All my friends were freelance. It was a great life.
Yeah.
You could just stop working and call someone down the road and go have coffee or Thai food and then go home and keep working. I'm a night owl too, so it's fun for me. Like, everything's open till 4 in the morning. There's always food. There's always pizza and bars and good music. And
that is true, yeah. We don't even have that in San Francisco.
Right. And for my first year here, I decided I needed to stop because I noticed every time I was out and everything closed at 2 in the morning, I was the person always doing that. You know, in New York, they don't close till 4. I had to stop that. Oh, I was annoying myself even. Yeah, I do accept some changes here, but the great part about San Francisco is that we have all the food, the music, and the art that New York has, but we also have all this beautiful nature around us, the mountains, the ocean. I've been swimming open water since I lived here, so I swam from Alcatraz last year.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's fun to have extracurricular activities. Like, if I could encourage any, especially wedding photographer, to do something good for their mind and photography, it would be to do something not wedding related at all. Like, find time every week to do something that has nothing to do with wedding. That's the only way I can keep my head screwed on.
This is true. I mean, you got to keep your head clear and to be able to do extracurricular activities that don't involve weddings.
Yes.
It can still involve photography. A good photographer's DNA, you always have a camera with you.
Yeah, and mine is just my camera phone, but it's still there. Prints of 4x6.
It's okay, though. I mean, it's a snapshot, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have some really good ones, though. But they're making camera phones now with flashes, getting pretty technical. Crazy.
It is. The new Motorola phone that's got the Kodak chip in it. It's a 5-megapixel camera with a Xeon flash. Pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, buying a new phone pretty soon. So I am a little excited that they're making ones with flashes now. That's been the one downfall is that my camera I always have on me. I can only use in the daytime. No low light situation.
You always want to have a camera with you because you never know.
It's true. You just really don't. But as far as my big cameras that I use for job, I never carry those with me. I never have. I'm pretty horrible that way.
Really?
Yeah, I'm awful. I take pictures in my head.
I learned years and years ago from Jay Mazel to never leave the building without your camera.
It makes sense.
And I don't.
Yeah.
Never.
I think you're probably a lot better off than I am. Like, I do think if something major went down, how sad I'd be to not have my camera. I'm definitely one of those people that just jumps in there wanting to get photos. So if I was ever downtown or anything, any kind of, like, I think about the people in Mumbai, if you were there, that to not have your camera, that's all stuff I would want to be shooting. I have a feeling someday I'll be kicking myself for it or shooting what I can with my camera phone.
Like you said, you know, if you have your camera, you can take some great stuff. So it's pretty neat to have your rig with you all the time. But like you said, anything is going to grab an image is good.
Yeah, I think most of the ones I get are just like little people things that make me laugh. Do you know about these twins in San Francisco, these old ladies with white hair that wear matching outfits? I think they're pretty famous.
I've heard of them, yeah.
Okay. So I didn't know who they were. I had just moved here. And I saw them walking down the street, and I wanted to die of happiness. They are amazing. And, like, all put together with hats on and little skirts and matching purses and short, white, curly hair. So, yeah, I just took a picture with my camera phone, things like that. Those are my day-to-day sort of shots. And it's not anything I would ever publish or get paid for, but just, like, happy little memories.
Yeah, it's great to have memories. And, you know, that's the thing, too, is talking about your mom earlier, that I think we find that women, females in the family unit are the keepers of the memory.
What a cool role to have. I think one of our teachers in school, though, did tell us that. And I do think whether it's a man or a woman, that there's no better thing you could do than offer to take photos. Like, a lot of my friends who are photographers have families, and the problem is being the memory keeper, that you're the one always taking the photos, and
You're not in them.
Never in them. In New York, I took maybe just 3 different photo sessions with photographer friends of mine, just with their families, and it was so fun to do that for them and know that they'll have some of these memories with them involved. I would tell everyone that's really good advice and advice that I've always cherished. That was probably like 7 years ago when I was in Brooks that someone told me that, and I never forgot it. So it really is one of the best things you could do for people. Obviously, you're not getting paid.
Right.
So if that's your main objective in life, don't do it. If you want to use your skill, just be a good Samaritan and offer a photo shoot to someone you love.
Right. It doesn't hurt. It's not going to cost you anything. What's the big deal?
I know. And it's always fun to go out and shoot, especially in the winter when things get a little slow. That's when I love just setting up some photo sessions for myself, like even if it's just with clients that I love that I know are totally broke. But it helps me from going stir crazy during the winter months.
Well, yeah, like you said, you know, everything doesn't have to be about the almighty dollar.
No, definitely I have lived my life opposite that. So I feel like it's pretty noticeable in my photography even. But I shoot for myself and my clients, and I'm happy if I can pay my bills doing it. Whatever comes after that is great, but it's definitely not my main objective in any way, shape, or form. We're just lucky to be doing this at all, basically.
Right, it is a great thing. Leah, let's move here from, you've been doing this stuff in New York City, you got established, you started shooting weddings, your friend turned you on to your first 3 weddings in New York.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty cool. And then, of course, with your skill set. No, that is great to be able to have a friend do that for you, to say, hey.
And even then, we weren't friends, really. She had just seen my work. We're friends now because of that. I've endlessly thanked her throughout my career, but she's the one who jump-started all of this. It was great.
It's great to be able to have a friend, to be able to have the enthusiasm and the spirit
That's
of influence
it.
To...
I asked her even now how she knew. I'm like, Julia, how did you know? I hardly had anything back then. Like, it's amazing to me. She just had that sixth sense about it, I guess. And she was right, so she's really proud of me now, the things I've accomplished, and happy to know she was a part of it.
What got to the point, Leah, that I'm done with New York, I'm making good money, you know, I got good gear, I got great friends, I got all this cool stuff going, and it's like, you know something? I'm out of here. Later.
I know. My friends are like, Leah, can't you just move out of the city? Like, why do you have to move across the country? I just thought maybe I've lived a lot of places in my life up until then, and I've loved them all for different reasons. Could I find a place that maybe comprised all those different things? And that is San Francisco. So even though it seemed kind of crazy what I did, I think there was just like a higher power there pulling me over here. It was for a bigger reason. And you just kind of have to go with those instincts sometimes. You know, it's San Francisco, and it's great. I love it here. I'm so happy. I finally found a place where I know I can stay. My mom would call it a home for a bunny. I'm going on 3 years here, and I'm glad to know coming up to the date that I moved here would have been December 15th, 3 years ago. So I'm glad that I know that I found the city for me. Is awesome. Yeah. And like I said, I can always visit New York and Colorado and Santa Barbara. I have friends and family in all 3 places.
Well, I mean, that's so the thing. You can go JFK out of Oakland for $300 round trip.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to go there in January right after Christmas to film some of my project for WPPI. I'm really excited about that. The holidays are my favorite time in New York, and I always miss it the most.
Yeah, no, it is fun in Manhattan and even Brooklyn and all kinds of places during the holidays. I think contrary to what people say, people in New York are still pretty friendly.
Oh, you know what? The friendliest. They are the friendliest. I had a lot of misconceptions about New York when I moved there. People were nothing but helpful. I would have people walking 3 or 4 blocks out of their way to show me how to get somewhere. New Yorkers are great. I love them. And it's so fun because they're all so different. Like, every block is a different culture, a different group of people. And yet you're living all together. Like, you're all really close, but in different communities. So it's fun to sit on the subway and see all the different ethnicities of people I think in Santa Barbara, that is one thing that got pretty old, just rich white people everywhere.
Yeah.
So in New York, you know, that change for me was really welcome. And also fun in the wedding business, because I've shot so many different kinds of weddings, any different kind of ceremony you could think of. I don't think you get that everywhere. So living in San Francisco and New York is really fun shooting-wise. All of my weddings are completely different. This summer, I was lucky I got to shoot a Vietnamese tea ceremony. It was fun. And a Chinese tea ceremony. And then, obviously, the Indian ceremonies. And, oh gosh, there's so many. Last summer, I shot a traditional Tahitian ceremony with a Tahitian chief and everything.
Wow.
I know, it was crazy. But it's always so fun. Also in New York, all the Russian Orthodox, like the Jewish weddings, the Orthodox Jewish weddings are crazy. It's like a football game without a halftime. And I don't think you really know how to shoot weddings until you've shot a few of those. It's exercise. The mob scene, it's amazing.
So, Leah, when you moved from New York City to San Francisco, you had this established business going. You had a lot of stuff cooking in New York. What did you do to reestablish or to establish yourself, actually, in San Francisco and to start getting weddings booked, so forth and so on?
Yeah, I feel like I still am establishing myself here. I feel like probably in this area I'm still relatively unknown. I'm sure it is changing in the next couple of years. But what I did was probably 4 months before I moved, or 5 months, I switched all my advertising to San Francisco. Any ads I had online, I switched. I convinced the post office here. Luckily, we have small towns out here in Marin County. I convinced them to give me a P.O. box over the phone.
Oh, my.
I know. Which was like, you know, it wasn't easy. I think they believed me. And luckily, you know, I gave them my aunt and uncle's address, which is local, as a reference. I switched my mailing address and all my advertising to San Francisco. And then when people would show interest, I would explain that I wasn't there yet. But I was coming. And actually, most of them didn't care at all. They were just interested in the photography. And then I had a couple clients in New York who posted blogs on The Knot and everything in California about me. So actually, that helped. That is better advertising than any web page I've ever paid for. When one bride goes online and raves about you, you'll get at least 10 or 20 contacts. I had a couple brides who did that, and they probably helped me the most. When I first moved out here, I already had like maybe 10 weddings booked, which is great for not having lived here yet. Word of mouth since then, that grows and builds over time. That's what's happening right now.
Let's get into photography here. Let's talk about what kind of gear are you shooting with now. Tell me about your equipment, what you're using, and then let's go into film. Let's talk about how you're exposing your film, and then your workflow from there.
Okay. So just my equipment, film, and workflow. So my equipment is, I have a few Canon bodies. I have two Canon EOS 3s and one Canon 1V. I love the 1V, but I'm also kind of addicted to the eye calibration on the EOS 3. So I just decide on the wedding day which one I want to shoot with. Like, I just have all these cameras, and also have a Canon 5D. And then obviously, I think they just came out or are coming out with the new one. That'll be fascinating. I think the new one shoots video. Crazy.
It does. Yep.
Yeah. So I think that, I don't know. I do think it's fun. Like, you can shoot it in even lower light and everything. So I might think about switching out my 5D I have now for the new one. But as far as the fun part is about film cameras is that if you have a good one, that's it. I don't ever need to update those. There's no new technology that's better than the ones I have. So I have the Contax 645. And I have the Hasselblad X-Pan that shoots up true-size panorama. So it's a really fun camera, because that's actually one that I would carry around town with me, because it's small, portable. It is a manual focus, so there is that. You can change it so that it'll shoot a single frame, or you can flip the switch so that it will shoot across two 35mm negatives. and give you a panorama, which is really fun for those scenic weddings. Like if you have a gorgeous location, like ocean or mountains, really fun to have panoramas from that. And the contacts, of course, is amazing. Like there is nothing digital that could ever, ever look like the contacts.
You use the contacts more for the portraits, the formal organized stuff, and you're using the 35 for more just sort of the run and gun. What are you using the two mainly for?
I use my 35 millimeters like 80% of the day. I love my contacts to death. I always need to be able to move my lens. So my lenses are the 24-70 and the 70-200. When I have a fixed lens, I get kind of claustrophobic. So I know the things I love to shoot with the contacts, and that's when I pick it up. So like for the portraits of my couple and any of the detail shots, you know, like the dress, the bouquet, and always if I'm indoors, like some of the stuff of the ceremony indoors is gorgeous on the contact. For the majority of the day, I'm shooting 35.
And you're shooting everything available light? Are you using any kind of flash? Is everything basically shooting wide open?
I think that, especially in New York, you learn right away when you have to use a flash. It'll happen whether you want it to or not. It'll rain or snow. It's not like California at all, where you can pretty much count on all your weddings being outdoors. In New York, even if you planned on it being an outdoor wedding, that can change the morning of the wedding. So learning how to use your flashes and knowing how to use them and when to use them and when not to use them is very important. So I will shoot available light up until I can't, obviously. Like I don't choose to put a flash on unless I have to. I'm not one of the people that have my flash on when I'm outdoors. I will shoot wide open until I don't have enough speed. And then I'll put my flash on and I'll still shoot on aperture priority, using the flash on aperture priority, which is still sometimes a little slow, but you just have to hold your camera steady and trust it. And then obviously I love, love, love my 3200 speed black and white film. I think for getting ready shots, there's just nothing better. So that would be all available light too. The 3200 speed on the contacts looks amazing. And that's it for film. Flashes. Flashes are flashes. I don't choose to use them, but sometimes they're necessary.
So true. And the point next is, let's talk about film stock. You just did mention that you like to use 3200 ISO black and white.
Yes,
what's your mainstay? What's your main gig when it comes to color neg? Different assortments that you like to use throughout the day?
The Fuji Pro 400 is most of it. That's most what I use all day. And then the black and white changes, like a flip-flop on it, but T-Max 400 I use a lot. I don't think Fuji makes a 3200 speed black and white.
No. 1600 is the highest they make. Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, I'm pretty sure I would have bought it if they did. So the Kodak 3200 speed black and white. And mostly I'm picky about the color film. The results I get with Fuji color film are so me. I think that's an important thing to find with film because there's different kinds. So, you know, you look at them all, but Fuji's me. That's why my clients hire me. And if you look at my website, it's really colorful. I'm just all about colors, bright, saturated colors. Shooting for it, too, like knowing which way to point your camera to really get that in there. But the combination of shooting Fuji film and having it processed and printed on the Fuji printer, there's none other. It's awesome. A lot of digital photographers look at my stuff and they had no idea it was film. Like, they didn't think you could get those colors from film. And I'm saying you can, but you have to shoot Fuji. And it has to be processed and printed on the Fuji machine. Noritsu doesn't work so well for me.
It's all different. People don't understand that.
Absolutely.
Leah, 400H, you're shooting this at 400, you're shooting at 200, you're shooting 200. At 1. So you're shooting one 200. Stop overexposed.
Yeah. So mostly it's on 200. The one kind of fun thing I figured out shooting indoors a lot is that I can rate it at 400 at night when my flash is on aperture priority. And the colors are so saturated and it's really cool and it gives me like just enough room for an exposure. I'm shooting 200 at night or like during a reception. It's fun to do some of the dancing shots, and I'll just put it on 400. Put my camera on aperture priority. I put my flash on minus 2/3 usually. That's without diffusion. And the results are really cool, I have to say. Again, it's stuff that digital photographers don't think is possible on film. Yeah, it's so cool.
Thing too is, okay, so you can shoot it at 200. You can shoot it wide open. You can expose for the shadows, but you're still going to get details from the whitest part of the dress or from a blow. You're not going to blow a highlight out, but you're going to get deep detail in the shadows.
It's amazing. I'm like, and to think we've always had film and how new digital is. It's crazy to me that people are okay with losing highlights and shadows. I mean, Ansel Adams would be rolling over in his grave right now. That you could just shoot it on film right the first time instead of collaging two different layers together to get those things.
Yeah.
Again, I'm just getting hives on my neck thinking about it.
Well, your passion.
Why, people, why? just shoot it on film. It's so easy. So easy, and it's all there. The color combinations, I cannot get those colors on digital. My greens are totally different. They're flat, and the skin tones are like that creamy, that weird creamy skin tone. It totally creeps me out. It really does. I mean, it just, my head. I'm like rubbing my head. Why?
Right. Yeah.
If everyone would just shoot one or two rolls of film, shoot a portrait session on film, doesn't have to be a wedding, send it to Richard Photo Lab and get the prints back. And honestly, tell me you're not excited. Then I'll be like, okay, you can go forth and shoot digital. You just go. You shoot digital. I wish that everyone would stop right now and shoot a few rolls of film instead of just accepting digital. Like, oh, this is just the way it is now. La, la, la.
Well, it's not. That's the big thing. So you have the stuff shot. You're overexposing. Very limited use of flash. If you are, it's 2/3 of a stop under.
If I'm shooting direct flash, obviously when you put diffusion on, it changes. I have really, really ridiculously good results shooting direct on my film. But on digital, I think that you have to put diffusion on most of the time. And a lot of times with digital, my flash is on like a +1. And even then it changes. Every shot's different. With my film, it's so nice because I always know exactly what it's doing. Like with my black and white film at night, my flash is on -1/3. My color film, -2/3.
And direct.
It's beautiful. It's even. Yeah.
And you put any kind of diffusion on it, or it's just straight?
No, it's crazy.
Straight flash gun.
I know. I have tried every kind of diffusion device. I just usually end up ripping it off of my camera. I can't. Sometimes I just can't handle it. I think lately the globey thing's working pretty well for me. But just sticking that one thing that I'm so technical. I'm like, sticking that one. Do you know that one plastic one that just goes directly on your flash?
Globe thing or the little square box?
Not the globe, just the square box.
It's a Stofin.
Oh.
Stofin makes a little translucent. Frosted little box that goes over the front of your flash.
Yeah, you know, I have that. I lost one this summer, the foamy thing that just sits on off and you bounce your flash up. It bounces off the... Sometimes it's just too much. I think with digital that my stuff does, a lot of times I'll notice the diffuse light works better, but with film I've never noticed any difference.
And you're not getting heavy shadows because of the way the film exposes. Since you're shooting, you're overexposing on the film to start with, and you're shooting 2/3 of a stop.
And then underexposing the flash, and it looks really natural. And I don't think there is anything wrong with the background being a little darker than the foreground.
No, it's fine. You know, the problem, though, is people do this stuff. The background is so dark, or there's really heavy shadows from people. And you can tell, they just burned the flash right in your face.
Right. So when I'm underexposing the flash, I don't usually need diffusion at all for whatever reason. I know there's probably 100 people that would disagree with me, but to each their own. And it's always worked for me. But that's, like I said, just on film. And I have all the diffusion devices. I have like probably 5 of them. And I'll use them for maybe 30 minutes and then I have to just rip them off because they're getting in my way, annoying me. You know what I mean? I get over it. I'm like, just get out of here, you. Also, I think sometimes if you have too much going on top of your camera, it becomes a little obtrusive. Like, don't you think people act a little differently?
Well, they do.
It's harder to hide when you have every kind of gizmo shooting off your camera.
Exactly.
I can be a little more unobtrusive with less equipment and kind of get the fun shots that I need. So I think it's more important to get the shot, basically.
The shot is the most important part, and the least intrusive you can be, the better. I mean, it gets to the point to where you want to shoot a rangefinder and just be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, exactly. And I do that as much as I can. Absolutely. And my clients love me for it.
When you're shooting, everything is photojournalistic on the fly on the wall, or is it,
yes.
You know, I still, or you don't, do you do any kind of pose, family,
no.
Nothing?
I think that's the one. I never took a single portrait class at Brooks. I wouldn't even know, like, I would not know how to pose someone, I say, if you paid me. And basically, they are paying me. So I know how to read people, which is more important. I also think maybe it is a bad trend to overpose. It's kind of like you were saying about overprocessing digital images earlier, is that you can also overpose people, and then you're kind of taking out their personality. Like, you might get a really pretty shot. Like, oh, that's a really pretty shot of a bride and groom. But was it them?
No.
Probably not.
No way.
And I definitely think there are some people who want that. And there's a photographer for everybody. But those are not my clients. My clients want photos of who they were on their wedding day. And the more, if I tell them where to put their arms, how to stand, I am just ripping the guts out of it. That's how it feels to me. I'm just taking all the energy away. So I really just try to let them be who they are and then softly guide them from there. Obviously, you want to put them in the best light, you know? So I'm always looking for light and locations and then kind of guiding them in that direction and then letting them, they just take it from there. And they almost always give me exactly what I need. And they're doing it while being themselves, which is great. So I just kind of lay back as much as possible. Always encourage them to be affectionate. Remind them they just got married, stuff like that.
Right.
Like, hey, you guys just got married. This is really exciting. And if I'm really happy for them and I'm enthusiastic taking the photos, telling them if something looks gorgeous, I tell them. So it's a lot of positive reinforcement, too. But really, I take portrait. It looks like portrait. I know it looks like portrait. I actually got kicked off of WPJA this year for not being a photojournalist.
No.
I did. I'm not kidding. They removed 300 people, I think, but I was one of them, which I found kind of humorous. Like, I'm not insulted at all. I just think it's funny that my style and all of my assistants who work with me know that I am a photojournalist. That is what I'm doing. But I guess I just take the shots in a really pretty way. I guess it just comes across as portraiture. It's not. It doesn't feel that way being there. I'm definitely not posing people. Even in the Fuji ad, the picture of Matt and Christine sitting against that cool silver wall, they did that all on their own. I was just lucky to be there. But that was so who they were in that moment. I never, you know, that's the way Matt stands. He does that. That's his thing. Christine was so excited to sit there. She was obsessed with the wall. You know?
It is a beautiful shot. I mean, it's great.
Right. And I know it looks like a portrait. Some people would call that a portrait, but that was a candid shot of them on their wedding day. It was. And everyone who was there in the room knows it. It's fun for me to give that to my clients, but I think that probably also there's some misconceptions when people look at my work about how it came about. But that's fine with me. Like, all I really care is that my clients know and love it.
That's all that matters.
Exactly. And they are all so happy. I am so blessed this year with amazing people. I had too many amazing clients this year. I feel like I can't possibly be that lucky.
So you shot everything, you sent it to Richard Photo Lab, they develop it, they scan this for you, they print out 4x6 or a 5x7 proof, you get the proofs and negatives, the high-risk scans back.
Yeah.
What does Leah do next?
What do I do next? I give everything to my clients. I know this may seem like complete blasphemy, but I'm like, here you go, here's your wedding photos, all the prints, the negatives, and the scan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you keep a copy of the scans or something? Or,
oh, yeah.
Or it's like just turn it free and I don't want to see it again. Thank you.
Well, there is a little bit of that sometimes. it is hard to kind of, you know, have to look at your work over and over and over again. I'm just not that person. Like, I don't love my photos that much, but I want to stare at them all day. I don't have, like, mounted prints of mine around the house or anything. But no, mostly because I feel like, again, it goes back to energy and everything, but it's their wedding photos. I think you should charge what you're comfortable, or at least for me. Everyone has their own way of charging. For me, it's important to charge what I'm comfortable making for the work I do on the wedding day, including all of those things. And then if anything comes after, that's fine. And if it doesn't, that's fine with me too. I feel like it's their wedding photos, and it's strange to keep them, to be like, oh, but they're mine, and you have to pay me more money now for them. It's not who I am at all. I just give them everything, and they're really happy with that. And also, most of the time, when it's prints, they want bigger, like the prints they really care about, not the 4x6s that they want to give to their mom or anything, but the bigger wall prints, the more important ones, they always call me for those. Those are the ones I encourage them to call me about. So I am always printing the bigger wall prints for them. The rest they can do themselves. I really would rather be shooting. I am not so strong about the post-production.
So you give them the stuff. Do you do anything with the digital images when they come back? Do you make a wedding album for them? Do you do any processing in Photoshop? Or that's it, man?
That's
it's goodbye.
Yeah, that's it. The thing is with the film stuff, you never have to do anything to it anyway. It looks totally gorgeous. I even noticed, especially this summer, anybody with little wrinkles, like the little wrinkles on the forehead or in between the eyes.
Right.
It is always showing up on my digital photos. So there's these completely gorgeous girls and little lines on their faces. Nowhere in my film photos could I find a single line. Things like that. Like the film photos, really, they don't need retouch. They're perfect, especially for 4x6s. But always for a wall print, there's something more you could do. But as far as giving someone proof, film's amazing. You just shoot it and it's done. I do offer albums and everything, but that's separate. If you want to spend $2,000 or $2,500 after the wedding, then you can call me for an album. And probably half of my clients offer that. And half of them are just struggling to pay the bill for the wedding photography to begin with.
Well, let's get to that. Since you're going to shoot a package where it's on film, most of it's on film. And like you said, you do a little digital. In certain situations at the reception and so forth, but mainly we're talking 99% film here. So
My assistant shoot digital, so I guess it does. There ends up being a little more digital than what I'm shooting. But yeah, I would say easily 80% film.
Okay, so we have all this great film work. We have digital files. You've given them the digital files. You've given them the actual negatives of the film, and you've given them a copy of the scans.
Well, yeah, I usually keep the negatives until they have looked at the photos or pick out any reprints that they want.
So in case you want to rescan.
I give them the CDs and the prints right away.
So in case they're happy and that's it, then more power to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Then I'm like, go forth and print.
Then down the road, you will give them the negs if they don't want any more.
Oh, yeah, and that's the thing. But the negatives are theirs. Usually I put my contract within 3 months of the wedding or 6 months. That way I can make prints for myself if I want to, or if I'm getting published. Like if it's a wedding that I'm going to have published, I like to hold on to the negative.
Well, then you could rescan something with a wet scan or drum scan and get some crazy resolution.
Oh, yeah. So that is the benefit of just, I don't offer the negatives right away. At any point, if they wanted them, they can just call me and I send them. I'm really easygoing when it comes to that stuff. I think the most important part to me always will be shooting on the wedding day and getting the most gorgeous photos that I can. Like I said, whatever comes after. It's just not my main priority.
So let's talk about package pricing, because most people are going to want to shoot something, sell them an album package, sell them this, keep the negs, or charge them an extra $500 or $1,000 or $2,000 for the negatives, and or most film photographers won't even give you the negs, no matter what.
Oh, that's sad to me, because it's their wedding photos.
It is.
It's their wedding. Yeah, I don't know that. I just do things the way I would want, and I know that would bum me out a little bit. So I just design stuff within my personality, and like I said, there's a photographer for everybody, but that's what my clients are looking for, typically. So package prices, I guess the hard part with me is that I'm always moving. So when you're establishing your business and growing, it's not yet what I would want it to be, but I would start at about $6,000 for everything. And not an album. And then the albums would be an additional $2,000, $2,500, $3,000, depending what you wanted. So it adds up.
Typically, if you want to go shoot a wedding with yourself, you have your second shooter with you that's shooting digital. You're going to get the negatives. You're going to get a set of 4x6 proofs of every photo. And it's going to cost you $6,000 or $7,000, basically.
Yes.
I guess it depends on the coverage if they want you for extra stuff afterwards.
Yeah, and that's for 8 hours. No, extra hours is extra money. Over time, too, when I'm more established in San Francisco, I definitely hope to be able to raise my prices. I thought that for this year, but things are a little sad right now with the economy.
Have you seen a slowdown in the economy and with your wedding photography?
I have.
You have?
Yeah. I've seen a little more timidness to book, just to go ahead and book. Like where before, it was easier for people in years past to just be excited. Like, yeah, I'm excited. We'll book you. And now it's like a little more timid. Like, oh, okay, we're going to talk about it. Like everything needs worked out and planned now. People need to plan. I have 3 friends who just got fired in the last couple months. I think a lot of people have to plan for if they're not going to be working next year, like what they can and can't afford. Most of what I have seen, though, is very optimistic for photography.
Yeah.
Is that on the news? Seen on the news and a few other shows, they're teaching brides how to cut costs. They're going through everything, how to cut costs on flowers, invitations, your dress. And I have never heard them mention photography. So I'm like, oh, that's good. And then I was talking to Catherine from Snippet and Ink. If you haven't seen her website, you should definitely go. It's one of my favorites. She does a blog, a wedding blog. She was saying that she is also recommending 2 brides, and she has a lot of power out there. Brides love her page. She's not recommending cutting costs on photography. She is also just recommending cutting everywhere else. We're more fortunate than others.
Well, sure. I mean, you can cut food. You can cut desserts. You can cut liquor. You can cut flowers.
Make your own invitations.
But guess what, though? Guess what? At the end of the day, if you cut photography, you've hosed yourself.
That's true. I have made some really dumpy weddings look like Martha Stewart. That's why people should hire a good photographer, especially if they're cutting costs everywhere else. So, yeah, I do feel like we're probably more fortunate than other vendors out there right now.
Yeah, I think
But yeah, there is a lot of timidness and apprehension, absolutely. So this year is not the year that I will get to raise my prices like I planned.
That's okay, though.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. You know, it'll happen when it's meant to. But like I said, I am moving a lot. I still feel like I basically just got here. You know, it's part of establishing your business. Yeah, hopefully, you know, soon enough, it'll be $8,000 to $10,000. I think that my work is worth that much, at least.
So, Leah, let's talk about what do you look forward to here in the future? I know that we're going to talk about here in a moment. You've got some great stuff going at WPPI. You're going to be doing a platform class for the people at the Wedding and Portrait Photographers International Convention and Trade Show coming up here in February in Las Vegas. What else do you look forward to? What's making Leah happy about just life? What are you digging? What's just cool?
really cool calling your friends at work and making fun of them for sitting in a cubicle. That is one of my favorite things, to be like, so what are you doing right now? I was just thinking about taking a swim, having some lunch. I mean, mostly facetious, but it is pretty fun to work at home. I love my clients. I love my clients so much that they are what keeps me going. I don't think really I'd be able to emotionally exhaust myself like this for people that I didn't love as much as I love them. And I guess traveling, that is what I'm looking forward to the most, is hopefully just traveling more, shooting weddings in different countries. I think that would be amazing. I've been to a lot of little islands, but it would be fun to go to Italy or Scotland or India. So I guess that's high on my list for hope in the upcoming years.
That's really cool. Cool stuff. Let's do talk about here what's going on at WPPI. You're going to have a platform class.
Yes, and I'm very excited about it. I hope, especially hope that your listeners come. I feel like we all have a lot in common. Anyone who would listen to your show is my target audience. My class is about analog, appreciating it, valuing it, using it, how it affects our lives day to day, how it can enrich our clients' lives, which is why I'm doing this job. Hopefully it's something that interests your listeners and they should check it out.
I think if you go to WPPIonline.com, you can click on the platform classes. It's going to be a great deal. And, you know, two hours early is going to be fun.
At 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
Even more fun.
Now we just need to find a sponsor besides, we need to get Fuji or Richard Photo Lab the coffee for the Krispy Kremes and the Red Bull.
This is what I'm thinking. I've been talking about this for months. I just haven't been able to bring it up with them yet. I don't know if they love me that much. But yeah, maybe I'll talk to Richard Photo this week and ask them about the Red Bull donuts. Yeah, yeah.
Or, I mean, really, how many people are in a platform class? I think they limit to like, what, 50 or something?
I have no idea. You know, I think they were, this year's a little different than years in the past because they've changed venues. So I know some rooms are bigger than others. So I think what I was told is that the rooms can fit 50 or 200 people or 1,000, and it just depends on the room. So I literally have no idea.
Hopefully Leah's got 1,000. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, yeah. Or 100. No, I don't know. I think we'll see. It's funny being a photographer and then being a public speaker. This will be as interesting for me as it is for everybody else. Definitely a unique experience.
It'll be fun. Let's talk about your website. Any places that you think people should go check out that you're digging in regards to analog photography and the film that you think is cool?
Yes.
Where can people find out your beautiful imagery? They can check out what you're up to and then anything you're digging.
Oh, yeah. So my website is www.bylea.com. I would love for everyone to go look at it and let me know what they think or just say hi. A website that I'm digging right now, one of my favorite websites, is savepolaroid.com. They're sort of spearheading this campaign to save Polaroid. We all know Polaroid has discontinued their film. We're getting our last boxes of it right now. I have my last box of Polaroid in the fridge, as well as my last box of the Kodak infrared, which puts me in a difficult position because I just have like 20 rolls of it. I'm having to decide if people are infrared worthy. It's a lot like that Seinfeld episode I'm saying, you know, like, are you sponge worthy? I'm not sure. So yeah, I have this two last boxes of film that are discontinued, you know, film that I have used all throughout my career. SavePolaroid.com is so cool. They have the best t-shirt, so I just want to plug their t-shirt because I have one and I love it, and it's so fun to wear it and see the kind of people that will come up to me and want to talk about it. It's always really surprising to me that it's not people, you know, in their 20s who love Polaroids, but it's all different backgrounds and ages of people who want to tell me that they love my t-shirt and they love Polaroids, and they're all really interested in the website. So basically what they're doing is raising money to save the technology. If Polaroid's not going to make it, pass it on to another company. They have packets that you can download that you can put up little signs in your photo lab for the website and pre-written letters to Fuji and Kodak. Fuji's going to love that. But but like pre-written letters to them to ask them to help save the technology. So I just think it's a really cool website and cause, and there's lots of photos on there and resources for cameras and film and the t-shirt.
No, it is cool stuff. Plus, also, you should look at Fujifilm has the new Instax. It's not new.
Yes,
they've had these in Japan.
Which is great to know. This is like fabulous information.
It's so fun. You know, instant photography is so fun. I'm digging myself personally right now. I got myself a brand new Polaroid 600 SE, 75 millimeter Mamiya glass on it, and I'm shooting pack film like crazy. You know, it's like shooting chrome. I think the 3000 ISO black and white has about two stops of latitude.
That's amazing. Yeah, and I didn't know. So, like, you definitely made me excited to start shooting that as well.
You know, just going out in the city, and the other night, I think it was 4:35 in the morning, I'm shooting Mel's Drive-In on Lombard.
Oh,
and there's no one.
There's
no one there. The place is completely vacant, and all the neon, and they're getting ready to open before they open at like 5 in the morning or 6. Beautiful pictures, all on instant. I'm just pulling film out in the parking lot.
That's all provided by Fuji.
Great stuff, you know?
It's awesome. Yeah, so I think that's great. That's all great information for people who need other resources. Like, if we really aren't going to have Polaroids anymore. I just think it's crazy, like, that I'm going to have to tell my niece and nephew someday what a Polaroid was. Things like that. A little crazy, but we're all doing what we can.
I have a little story. When I was in New York back in October, it's been about a month and a half now, I did a interview, shot a video with John Reuter from 20 by 24 Studios. That is the 20 by 24 Polaroid camera.
Oh, so cool.
And I got my portrait shot on 20 by 24 Polaroid.
Oh, get out, you lucky bastard.
I know.
That's
it's so
amazing.
Cool.
You're like, it's perks of the job.
Exactly. Well, I had to use somebody to be the example of when I was shooting this video and doing the interview. But, you know, that's another thing that is dying. And it looks like somebody's going to come up here and make some stock. Instant photography is so great. I think it's just the whole analog process is great because, you know, really, and we've discussed this before, is, you know, it's really about you're capturing a reflective image from the sun. We have energy from the sun reflecting off of people and things. And
It's a chemical process. It is not a mathematical equation being transferred onto a chip. There's just something so much cheaper about that to me. It's analog. We love it.
It is fun, and it's great stuff. And like you said, you're not relying on a engineer somewhere to interpretate what the light was being reflective off of that surface.
Let me mathematically compute your image. how about just shoot the real one the first time?
Yeah, that's pretty fun stuff. Leah, I really appreciate you joining today. This is great to talk to you, to see what you're doing with analog photography, to look at your beautiful stuff. You've been published. Let's talk about it. We didn't even talk about that. Tell me where people can go see, of course, besides your website, but you've been publishing a lot of magazines.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't have them all up on my website right now either. Bridal Guide, usually at least once a year, you could see my work in Bridal Guide. Brides Magazine, a lot. Probably 2 years ago, I guess, the PDN Top Knots contest. That's where most people will recognize my work, which is funny. They won't know who I am, and then they'll look at my website and go, "Oh, you were that girl with the leg shot from Top Knots." You know, like, it's funny, those legs. There's just this one shot of legs that I have, and everyone's like, "Oh, you're that girl." So I'm hoping to get other images out there and not just be known for that shot anymore.
That's a great shot, though. I mean, I love that shot.
It is. It's fabulous, but it... I'm like, hey, I do other stuff, too. Yeah, the leg. It was one of those moments I remember turning around and seeing it. And it's that second you're going to shoot it that you're completely sure somebody's going to move. Like, that girl's going to get up. Or, like, lean over to set her champagne down and ruin the shot. So there was, like, this little panicked moment where I had to get it. And I was sure someone would move, but they didn't. So it worked out.
Well, that's beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
So, Leah, we look forward, of course, to talking to you again, seeing you and WPPI coming up in fabulous Las Vegas. And just looking at your beautiful work, and it's so cool to see that you're shooting film. You know digital inside and out. You have a degree in digital. You know Photoshop. You know Lightroom. But you know something?
Absolutely.
You're shooting film, and it's just...
I love film. I absolutely love it. Yeah.
It's going out the door. So, I mean, that tells you something. If it's your own personal work that you can acquire it analog and actually give the product to the customer and say, guess what? That's it. Enjoy.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that makes my life a lot easier and happier. Yeah, and they do enjoy it. That's the best part.
Right. You can definitely tell that you enjoy your work, and I really appreciate it. We're going to talk to you again here soon. Just great work and beautiful photography, Leah. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you.
Well, there you go. Leah McCormick, really cool girl. Great stuff going on with her. You know, she has such beautiful photography, such a carefree, great person, you know, just beautiful stuff she's doing. And of course, film. That is the key to her deal is film, and it's just beautiful photography. You definitely want to check out her website. You definitely want to see her coming up here at WPPI. Just a lot of cool stuff going on with Leah. Great to have her with us today. And of course, I'd like to thank the sponsors of the Inside Analog Photography Radio Program, Fujifilm, over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Richard Photo Lab at richardphotolab.com, Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com, and our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group over at www.apug.org. I've been your host, Scott Gibbard, here on Inside Analog Photo. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.